Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we greet you with Jesus' joy. We are so happy for you to join us for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., Again, we are so thankful that you have decided to join us. We are broadcasting live, as always, from the nation's capital, the Northeast Corridor of Washington, D.C., Reconciliation Ministries, in partnership with Omega Ministry Group. We are so thankful for the Omega Ministry Group, all those who participate, its leaders, Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and Sister Tammy Storr. Again, we are so thankful for all of you all joining us here live tonight. We're going to go ahead and start tonight, but as always, we know before we go into our Bible study, we always must have a word of prayer. So let us pray. I thank you, Lord God, for again this day. We, before we even ask of anything, we just want to have an attitude of gratitude. We greatly appreciate the fact that you have given us another day of life. We thank you for protecting us from seeing danger, seen and unseen. We appreciate the fact that you have allowed us to come here for another Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. We pray, Lord God, that you will allow those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast to hear a word from you. We pray, Lord God, that as I decrease and you increase, that I will not speak any words that you don't want me to speak. Hold back my tongue, bridle my tongue. Allow me, Lord God, to be your conduit. I understand, Lord God, that I am not the power, I am not the authority, but you are. And for that, Lord God, I give you all honor and give you all praise. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to bless your people. Again, we thank you for this time of study. Show us something that you want us to learn so that we can then pass it on to others to show the world that you are alive and doing well. Thing we say and do, we always give you honor, we give you praise. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, amen. Well, as always, we thank the Lord again for you. We pray that tonight's lesson will be a blessing to you. Tonight, as always, it's about not just me sharing, but about you sharing, participating. If you have a question, if you have a comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and then I will be able to identify the fact that you have a comment. If you are not listening to this live and listen to the rebroadcast, then you can send me questions and comments, criticisms, to jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N-91. And you can send all comments and criticisms and what have you to that email. Again, we are so thankful for those who are listening live and then those who will listen to the rebroadcast or recording of tonight's show, teaching. Want to deal with a point of scripture that we read many times before. Tonight's lesson is entitled, What Are You Working On? What are you working on? Tonight's launching pad or scripture reference is Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And then we will jump to Genesis 2, verse 15. So we're just looking at three different scripture references, but we'll fill in as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Again, Genesis, very easy to find. Go to the beginning of your Bible, and there you go. You got Genesis. So, it's just a joke. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I will be reading the NIV translation. Let's jump at 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. "The Lord God spoke," Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." That's it. Let me read again. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So again, for tonight's lesson plan, tonight's something for us to go over, what are you working on? We look at these two scripture references, and we think about the fact that God has created man, easily to understand a concept that is known by many. God says to himself, "Let us make man, let us make a creation." And then he makes a man and a woman. Actually, chapter 2, it's somewhat of a summary of what goes on in chapter 1 of Genesis. And it covers the creation of man. And God so makes man. And then in chapter 2, he makes him and says he puts him in the garden. And then he gives rulership to them. So, ever in life, ever in eternity, well, first person is God, but God created. But as far as man, it would be Adam. God gave Adam the responsibility to maintain and to work a field, to care over, to give names to the animals, to the plants. And in this time of pandemic, we have a lot of people who are debating and trying to figure out if they're going to go back to work or if they're going to do any kind of work. As a building manager for the federal government, I maintain several buildings in Northern Virginia, and a lot of my tenants have decided to allow their people to work at home, but there is now a big push to bring those people back into the offices. And you have a lot of people who are, or who have already determined that I'm not coming back into the office due to the pandemic, due to issues, due to being afraid, due to just being, not just being afraid, but also just being careful about who they expose themselves to. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that there have been many a days that I've gone to work and people who knew that they were sick when they woke up, they were sick when they got in the car, and they were sick when they got when they was coming into the office, and instead of staying at home, they decided to stay, they decided to come in and be sick in the office. And I have to be transparent in my going and making sure that people, being a part of being an old shop steward, and I've had to tell upper management, so-and-so needs to go home because they're not feeling well. And there's no need for them to be here when they could be sick at home. There's no need for them to infect everyone here in the office. And management have agreed some days, and some days they just said, Jay, you know, it is what it is. And I understand if you have a deadline or there's something important, but please be cautious about spreading your germs, especially in today's time. But you have athletes who we discussed this morning on the Man Up prayer line. You have athletes and at the office. You have athletes who have decided to opt out of millions of dollars to play football or basketball. They decided to opt out of their contract and get paid maybe 10% of what they can make. And to be totally honest, I don't know if I would argue with them, if it would be something where I would not fear, I would feel a certain kind of way about exposing myself to the possible coronavirus, COVID-19. But I understand that there are some people who are not afraid or who stand on the principle or on the promises that since God have created us, God will take care of us. Now, please don't take this as a thing of I'm saying that you don't have any faith or you don't have any trust in God. But I just believe and I just trust in God enough. Now, he's given me enough wisdom and enough common sense not to go out there all willy-nilly and not wear a mask and not use my hand sanitizer. But he's also given me faith over fear. So we have these people who have decided that I'm just not. I even heard on the news on yesterday, you have a great number of teachers who are opting out or who have decided to retire because they would rather retire and make a and then instead of going back into the classroom where you don't know what you could be exposing yourself to and what you could be exposing others to. And I started thinking about the question, why do we work? That's kind of the premise and the background information of why I'm asking this question, what are you working on? And God led me back to the first man, Adam, who had responsibility, who was given the responsibility by God to tend this garden. Now, I asked myself, why is it that we work? Why is it that we seem to sometimes work ourselves so hard that we can't even enjoy the fruits of our labor? I mean, let's be realistic. There are some of us who are working two and three jobs, and you have to in order to maintain a lifestyle that you want to live. And then there are others who are working because of the fact that it is their responsibility to be the breadwinner, to be the one that take care of everyone else. And so I struggle with the fact of why are we working? I mean, when you look at other societies outside of America, you have other countries and other societies where they work only a certain part of the year, and then the other part, they vacation. I mean, it's always been amazing to me when I would take vacations and I would be there for about 4 or 5 days, and I would meet people from other countries, and I would say, man, how long are you here for? What's going on? And they would say, well, we've been here a week, and we got another week or two to go. And I would be amazed that they could take a 3-week-long vacation. And they said, well, that's what's wrong with you Americans. You all just work just to be working. And you all don't ever take any time to enjoy life. And so I started thinking about why do we work? And God said, you work because you have responsibility. Now, the responsibility is the part where it's a little tricky, because God had given Adam the responsibility to tend the land, to maintain the garden. I mean, it says right here, again, in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So God gave Adam responsibility. God has also given us responsibility. But sometimes we lose focus of that responsibility. I mean, think about it. What's more responsible? For you to go out and get 2 or 3 jobs? Or is it more responsible for you to get 1 job, change your lifestyle, and spend time with your children, especially as they are growing up and developing? I mean, I understand. I was raised by a single-parent mother, and she went out and worked. And my father, he was there sometimes. Sometimes he wasn't. But I've kind of realized that sometimes the responsibility greater, or the more correct thing to do, or more responsible thing to do, is to take care of those loved ones around us. And that doesn't always mean that you have to go out and physically work or bring in money. Because you have seen many people before, many children who grow up, and when they grow up to be older, you ask them, how was your childhood? Do you have a good relationship with your mother or with your father? And they will argue, I really don't, because I really don't have a relationship with them. And then you wonder why. And then they say, well, they was always at work. Now, again, please don't take this to say that Elder Van is telling you all that you don't have to work, because we all have responsibility. We've all been given a task. But I think it's more important to ask God, what is the more responsible thing to do? Is it better for me to, again, get 2 or 3 jobs? Or is it better for me to get 1 or 2 jobs, but still try to find time to spend with my children, or spend time with loved ones, or spend time with my spouse, or my soon-to-be spouse, whoever she may be. I mean, realistically, with the fellas we was talking this morning, we was saying that some of the fellas say that, man, they sometimes they think about while they're at work, they are thinking about their spouse. And they're thinking, man, I can't wait to get home to her. Or they're thinking about other activities. I can't wait to leave work to do that. I would argue the more responsible thing to do is for us to allow God to place us where we ought to be and then take care of the responsibilities that he has given us there at work and then at home. I mean, it's important. You have to look at each word. It says that God placed Adam. Adam ain't just get up and just say, I'm going to work over here. You know what? Because over here it looks like it needs some work. God placed Adam where he needed to work. And my argument for you tonight is, if you allow God to place you where you ought to be, I don't think that you'll burn out. Truly don't believe you will. I believe that if you really allow God to place you in the garden that he wants you to work, then you will be able to find rest, peace, joy, and happiness. And then also be able to take care of the responsibilities at home. What we're going to do, as we always do, we're going to take a quick break. We want you to, okay, this is a song. Okay, here you go. I'm going to play this song, and I really want you to hear the words of this song, because the type of God that we serve, the type of Father that we have, he works intentionally. It's not by happenstance, but he does it on purpose.
He does.
So listen to this song.
Good morning, my brothers. We praise God for an opportunity to be here this
morning.
Oh,
man. Hold on. This is... Okay, that's not... Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong one. There we go. Go get yourself some water. We'll be right back.
I know that all things are working for my good, yeah, she's intentional, never failing, all things are working
for my good,
she's intentional, hey, and it's never failing.
Intentional.
Never failing.
Never failing.
All
Amen. That's right. God is intentional. God intentionally puts you in the right place to work, to be a steward over the field that he has given you. There's two questions. You know, I'm always, this is the way God deals with me. But I want to ask you a question. What's the work God has given you to do? What is the work that God has given you to do? And how could you cultivate this field by bringing order to it and bringing good from it by God's grace? Again, we're talking about what are you working on? And though we are living during this time of pandemic, there are people who have decided, I'm not going to go back to work because I'm going to stay at home and it's better for me to stay at home and be responsible and cultivate my family, my life, and others that around me. And we've already looked over this scripture in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2, where God created man. And please, sisters, don't take this so chauvinistically. When I mean mankind. But he did create man first, and then he created woman. I'm not going to say anything about that because I'm trying to find me my rib. Nevertheless, he created them, and then he placed them in the garden to give them dominion, to give them rulership, to give them stewardship. And so my question to you, or I challenge you, is what are you a steward over? What is it that God has given you stewardship over? As always, we have, if you want to make a comment or a question, you could press 1, and I will be able to see that you have a comment. I see we have someone that would like to make a comment. The last 4 numbers are 9934. Your mic is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to be on the line tonight with you, Elder Willie J. Van Jr. from
Dr.
the DMV.
Just
praise God for my blessing flow, man. It's just awesome how God moves, because I just got off work a little while ago, just walked in the house. And when I got to the car in the parking lot, you know, the Holy Spirit just reminded me that I needed that you need a word. Because I missed our online Bible study we had at our church, and it was a noonday Bible study, I got an invitation to be on the line, but I had to I missed that one too as well. So I just praise God because you know, I said I need a word, and then I looked down at my phone and I saw the text message you had sent about your broadcast being on the night. So I was like, wow, look at God, you know, gives you just what you need, right when you need it, how you need it, and everything like that. So powerful discussion on tonight, and I think that, you know, one of the things we could do is certainly definitely including myself, that we could be better stewards over what God has placed in our hands, meaning in terms of far as saving money, because I'm just looking back in terms of money that I've been able to blessed to be able to earn over the years, that if I had been a better steward far as saving, then a lot of those things that you're talking about that a lot of us should be doing now would be able to do. But even in the midst of that, we just praise God because
He is still good and faithful to us and still provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so there is a balancing act that you have to have if you're married, if you are a parent, you know, if you're married or single, and if you're caring for, if you are a primary caretaker for someone who is older or may have some type of physical or mental challenge or what have you, that, you know, you definitely have to, you know, have that balancing act. And then at the end of the day, well, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, you just have to trust God and knowing that that God will provide, you know, and that God will meet all of your needs with regards to, you know, whatever sacrifices that you have to make to be stay focused on what it is that you're working on and not to be distracted, not let, you know, anything or anyone to cause you to be distracted. And, you know, definitely there are some times I look back when our children were younger, far as, you know, as you were talking about earlier, far as working, you know, one job, two jobs, three jobs, or what have you like that, to be able to make ends meet and be able to, you know, provide them the ability to be able to do a lot of the things they want to do and so forth like that. But even in the midst of that, I praise God that they were able to do that. And God blessed me to be a conduit through, you know, what they could, you know, pursue the things that they wanted to pursue at that time, whether it was cheerleading or dance or you know, some type of sports or what have you like that. You know, just praise God that they did have the opportunity to do that and to experience that. You know, and even seeing how they reflect back on it now, even as, you know, two young women who are adults now and everything like that, too, as well. So, you know, that God gets the glory out of it all, and it just adds more, you know, to your testimony. And so, you know, all of us should be working on something. Because God has a divine purpose for each and every one of us, and that we're still here for a reason, for a purpose, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we definitely must be busy about doing our Father's business. And so then, you know, the question that comes, you know, listening to the question that you raised, you know, are you working, you know, the question that comes to mind also has to be, you know, are you working on what God would have you to work on? Are you working on what you want to work on or what someone else wants you to work on? And so I think if we're working on what God has us to work on, then it will be prosperous and productive. But if it's otherwise, then it will not manifest to the degree that we may be aspiring for it to do. And so, you know, I was just, I had got a job, just to add one last thing, not to get long-winded. I had got a job offer from another company, and my wife, I was telling her about it and everything like that. They sent an email and another email, all that kind of stuff. I had a follow-up phone call, interview, all that kind of stuff. And then my wife, she asked me, she said, well, what is the Lord telling you to do? And I was just like, wow. In the flesh, I was like, well, I'm finna go and get this money, you know. And so then when she said that, it just hit me like, wow, you know, I didn't even consider, like, you know, like, Lord, is this what you would have for me to do? Do you want me to, you know, pursue this opportunity of another stream of revenue? Yes, I know that. But, you know, is it what you would have me to pursue? And the Lord didn't give me, you know, a response on it, what have you like that. And so I just kind of like just backed away from it and everything like that. And so, you know, when you do that, you begin to see that, you know, everything that looks, you know, green, you know, we had grass is green on the other side. It may not be as green as we think it is once we get over there to the other side and everything like that. So we have to be very, very careful that we're following the Holy Spirit's leadership and working on what God would have us to work on, not what we want to work on in our flesh or what someone else may be saying that we should work on, anything like that too as well. Just want to share that in love. great broadcast. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share, and hello to all the listeners too as well. Praise God.
Amen, man. Thank you, Dr. Hill. We are so grateful, man. As a mighty man of God, we are so appreciative for you calling in, and I know how busy you can be, and that kind of brings validity to my argument tonight. There are times that we will go off and do work that God did not put in our hands, that God did not place us there. And then we find ourselves all stressed out, all upset, and still broke. Ain't nothing, okay, I'm sorry. Ain't nothing, there isn't anything worse than having two or three jobs and still not having any money. But I've come to realize that when I am where God wants me to be, my life flourishes, my life blossoms, my life overflows with so many blessings. And so I just want to challenge you, everybody, tonight. Where is it that God wants you to be? Where is it that God wants you to work? What is your field? And if you don't have a field, why don't you ask God, what is it that you want me to do? God, I give myself to you. I give my life to you. I give you my all. We have to realize that we are stewards of what God has given us. God gave Adam stewardship over the garden, over the animals. Now, yes, in that stewardship, he messed up. But that still did not negate the fact that Adam, just like Adam, he has given us another chance. And he has given us the responsibility to work. And again, I'm not telling you that you should not work. I will never tell you, because the Bible says if a man does not work, he does not eat. And anybody that knows Willie J. Vann Jr. know that Willie J. Vann Jr. likes to eat. So because I like to eat, I must go out and work. But I realize that I got to always check in with God. I got to always check in with my Father and find out, is this where you want me to work? Is this what you want me to do? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was telling him, man, you know, I could have been one of the first in the initial graduating class of the DC cadet program of the DC Police Department. When I was still in high school, they came, they interviewed me, they said, you are exactly what I'm looking for. And I said, man, I can't be a cadet. In my mind, I said, that's not the right job for me. Because I'm selling drugs, I'm running the streets, and I'm just not trying to be a police officer. Now, I'm not saying that my life would be different, but I've realized that by me not going that direction, by me not taking that path, that I was able to go to college, go to a great HBCU, Wilberforce University in Ohio, to come back home, work for my family, and then be blessed, work for some couple of nightclubs, but then be blessed to get a career with the federal government. And in that career with the federal government, it has blessed me to be able to then give my life to God and then be used by God to do a number of different things. I remember when the church, my former church that I belonged to, it burnt down, and we was meeting with architects, and I remember going to that meeting and saying, well, this doesn't make sense to have this here, and it doesn't make sense to do that. And they were like, well, how you know? Because this is what I get paid to do from the federal government. When my neighborhood was about to get a new recreation center was about to be built in my neighborhood, and I'm a part of the neighborhood committee. And when I looked over the plans, I told them that D.C. government was messing up. And when I went to a meeting with D.C. government, and I let everybody have their speech, let them have their piece. And I had already talked to our president of the neighborhood association. And I said, I want to be the last person to speak. I said, because I already know what's going to happen. And they said, sure, Reverend Van, no problem. So I did that. And I said, there are 13 things that are wrong with your plans. And I went through all 13 items. And not only did I go through the items, I also gave a solution to those items. And I could see all of the councilmen and the people from the recreation department, they was whispering and taking notes and asking. And then they came up to me and said, who are you? And I told them, I'm Reverend Willie J. Van Jr. I live in the neighborhood. I live right down the street. They was like, no. They was like, who are you? And what is it that you do? And I told them, I said, well, I'm a facilities manager for the federal government. I manage over 3 million square feet of office and warehouse space for the federal government. I oversee million-dollar projects. I do construction and alteration. It was like, you work for GSA? And I was like, yes, I work for GSA. They was like, oh, okay. They was like, we knew the way you spoke, there was something. And I realized at that point that my job was divine, because not only the skills that I learned on my job helped me, but it also helped me to help others. And that's where I'm trying to get you to realize that when you are divinely placed in your place, in a position or in your field, not only will you help yourself, but you'll help others. When you are divinely given a task and responsibility and given work and stewardship, not only will you be blessed, but other people will be blessed because of the work that you've done. Or even better, the work that God has allowed you to do. So I challenge you today, as you think about your life, what is it that God has you, what is it that God has you working on? What is the dream that God gave you? That he told you, he spoke to you and said, I need you to do this. And let me just tell you, delay is not a denial. Oh, man, I feel that in my spirit. Delay is not a denial. I know he gave you that dream 10, 15, 20 years ago that you was going to do this, that you was going to do that. And here you are, you frustrated, and saying, the dream ain't coming through. He told me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good church. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God is not a promise breaker. Just because he has not given it to you now, or he hasn't given it to you yet, doesn't mean that he can't give it to you, or he can't place you in that position, in that place of stewardship that he wants you in. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you mean to us. We are so grateful for your love and for your grace and mercy. Lord God, we greatly appreciate who you are and what you mean to us. Lord God, allow us to first be obedient to your will. Allow us to understand what is it that the work that you've given us to our hands. What field did you give us to work and to oversee and to be a good steward over? Lord God, reveal it to us. And if, Lord God, if we're in the wrong field, allow us another day to get into the right field. Allow us another opportunity to get it right and to move to the position and to the place where you will want us to be. And, Lord God, we do this not for self-glorification, but because we want to glorify you. We want to be known as good stewards so that you'll get the glory. People can say to us, man, what's going on? And then you can say, glory be to God for the many wonderful things that he has done. Lord God, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We still have time for another question. If you have a question, you can press 1. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and I will be able to unmute your phone. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, you can send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. J-A-Y-V is in victory, A-N-N, because I'm twice as nice, 91@yahoo.com. We ask that you would tune in every Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to hear Mighty Man, Mighty Couple, Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife Tammy Storr, as they speak about relationship, about oneness, about marriage ministry, every Monday night from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, we have Minister Leah Killings, Mighty Woman of God, who has different subjects on Wednesday night is yours truly, Elder Willie J. Van Jr. On Thursday nights, you have Bishop George Flint from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then on Saturdays from 1 to 2, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins. We thank the Lord from him, from a great state of Ohio. And maybe this is where God wants you to work. Maybe God has your feel to be on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Ministry Blog Talk Radio. If you would be so kind, if you feel God is leading you to share word, please, you can send me an email and we can get you in contact with Dr. Storr, and we can make that happen. Man, I will tell you, I was so afraid and so living in fear that I did not think that God would use me to share his word over the broadcast. Mother Storr, we praise God for Mother Storr. She said, baby, if you would be faithful to the time, God would be faithful to give your word. And I will tell you, that has been the God honest truth. As long as I am faithful to this time that God has given me, to this task, God has given me strength and a word to share. So it is with my word, or so it is with my stewardship. I challenge you, if you be faithful to the task that God has given you, God will give you wisdom, God will give you strength, and God will bless you. Maybe not always in money, but he'll bless you to be a blessing to someone else. Well, we praise God for you, you, and you. I want to play this song. And again, I want to challenge you. What is it that God has given you? What's the work that God has given you? What is the field that God, where is the field that God has given you stewardship over? Will you surrender? Will you give yourself away? As always, peace and love, Willie J. Van Jr. We see you. Talk to you next week.
Give myself away.
Yeah.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am. you.